Last weekend on the Big Island in Hawaii, Dr. Michael Sala's Exopolitics Institute sponsored the Extraterrestrial Civilizations and World Peace Conference. Out of this conference came a very important document. It has a title that gets attention. It's called the Hawaii Declaration on Peaceful Relations with Extraterrestrial Civilizations. Our special correspondent, Paula Harris, has been there all week. And Paula, it's very nice to talk to you again. I guess you have been enjoying yourself there for the week in paradise.
Well, after the conference, of which I had some time to breathe, it's beautiful out here. There's palm trees, people are swimming, the boats are coming in. And it's very beautiful.
So, Paula, you told me once, I don't know if you were kidding or not, are you swimming with the dolphins in beautiful Hawaii?
Everybody is. It's part of the conference because dolphins for this conference represent a group of sentient beings in the water, very much like the extraterrestrials. So they're kind of a symbol for this conference.
Okay, let's talk about the conference itself. You made some news with this Hawaii Declaration. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'm calling this resolution the Hawaii document, and it's called the Hawaiian Declaration on Peaceful Relations with Extraterrestrial Civilizations. And it is a multi-track diplomacy document. Multi-track means that even though we as, regular citizens are going to try to have this intent, we are also going to later on, through the help of Alfred Weber from Canada and others, present the document to the United Nations. That's another track. That's a diplomatic track.
Paula, let's talk a little more about this resolution, this document.
Okay, well, the resolution was a group effort. It has several points. We've come down to 7 points, and it was led by Dr. Michael Sala. Dr. Michael Sala, who is the organizer with Angelica Wycliffe, his wife, of this conference, put together a very, notable group of people, people that are in diplomacy positions, people that had been ex-military, like Robert Salas, who was, in the Disclosure Project, and Dean Jones. And we got together, all of us, and with the help and guidance of Michael Sala, put together a statement. I mean, when it becomes a statement, it becomes something, an intent, something legitimate. So it was a working situation, because when we would go to lunch, everybody... First, on your website, you might see this, everybody at lunch just drafting up their ideas, putting it together. Then we had a meeting afterwards, talking about what the wording was like. And then finally, in front of an audience of 200 people, we passed the draft and thought that they could contribute. So when all of us, all these meetings, plus the people in the audience, we're satisfied with this document. The document became a...
Paula, this conference had some real heavyweights from the political world attending.
Ex-Minister of Defense Paul Hellyer and Ambassador John McDonnell. This was a meeting of people that had been in high-level positions.
Paula, let's talk about the Honorable Paul Hellyer from Canada. He made a stirring speech, an interesting speech. In fact, we have highlights of that speech on this website. Can you tell me a little bit about him and McDonald, too?
Yes. Initially, Paul Hellyer came aboard in 2005 when he spoke at the Toronto conference that they had done at the University of Toronto. And people were very shocked that he said, he used the phrase, UFOs are as real as airplanes, and I am concerned with the policy issues around this. Of course, I mean, this is logical. And then I flew to see him to do an exclusive interview, and that's on your website, Jerry, on the 24th, I think, of March, just before the Laughlin Conference. And I have his statement that he thinks that we need to look at disclosure. And he used the word full disclosure. He used it here, too, full disclosure, before we make policy issues, including, you know, that include SDI, missile shield. He said, you have to prove to me they're hostile aliens. I mean, he said this here, too. You know, if we're dealing with hostility, I need to know it, because huge amounts of money from the military-industrial complex are going into fighting these civilizations. And basically, he's very logical. I mean, this is, makes sense. It's national security. And he consented to come here to a very serious venue because he saw that we were doing this and trying to come forth with some statement that, yes, on many tracks, we're not going to assume that these beings or whoever they are, and there are both 57 different races, are going to be hostile. Some may be, and some may be trying to make contact. So he was part of this working group.
Okay, Paula, can you tell our audience a little bit about Ambassador McDonald?
Ambassador McDonald is very, very good at citizen diplomacy. He has a, I think, private organization in Washington. Was very, very instrumental in working with Northern Ireland and with working with Cyprus. He was able to bring both people to the table, in other words, in these warring situations, and have them, you know, have them use dialogue, a diplomatic way that, and this is a citizen diplomatic way. In other words, it doesn't come from the countries, but from concerned citizens who want peace, trying to give both sides concessions. And since he, in all his years, has been really good at multi-track diplomacy, Michael Sala thought he would be perfect for this kind of multi-track diplomacy. Now, he's a sweet man. Because talking about ETs, I saw the smile on his face. He had to look at world peace in another kind of dimension, extraterrestrial dimension. I think for him it was a real big stretch, but he really did a good job.
He went along with it.
Oh, absolutely. He was wonderful. He went along with it, didn't call us all crazy. You know, he sat there and actually gave us some very real input.
Give us a little bit of background about the who else was there at the conference of interest. I mean, you know, you had 200 people at least. So were most of these people from Hawaii or from around the world or what?
Well, you know, it was really interesting because most of them are foreign. I mean, there's so many people from Germany. There were people from Amsterdam. There were people from Australia. There were people from New Zealand. And there are people from the islands. There, you know, I'd say that one-third of the audience was from, were foreign, that were very interested in this, which makes it really great because this goes out worldwide. And I'm, as an Italian journalist, I'm really interested in dissemination worldwide. So, yeah, that's who was here. But you know who the speakers were then, Jerry, because also they were very interesting. You know, Joan Ocean, James Gillian, Philip Corso Jr., Wendell Stevens. This is a cast that's very impressive. And Robert Salas, who was the Navy man who was present when the missiles shut down in Malmstrom Air Force Base. Now, when he did his presentation and talked about the shutting down of the missiles by UFOs, I mean, he presented the nuclear problem. He said, "Look, we got to deal with this nuclear, you know, threat," and everybody was on the bandwagon there. Everybody.
Now, we talked about, and we interviewed many of these researchers and speakers, but not all of them. You know, it's very interesting that you mentioned Robert Corso Jr. I know you've been involved with Corso and that story for years. Tell me a little bit about what's happening
there
with
him. Well, Phil Corso Jr., he's named after his dad. He basically was interested in meeting the Honorable Paul Hellyer because, you know, Paul Hellyer mentioned that because of his father's book, because of Corso's book, this became, you know, this became serious for him. Now, what the big story with Phil Corso Jr. is that Phil Corso Jr. admitted that he's going to publish Dawn of a New Age, which is his father's original notes. He stated he's not only going to publish Dawn of a New Age, but that he is going to give a sizable amount of the proceeds to the Exopolitics Institute to continue this kind of peace work. So we have a private person, and that's Phil Corso Jr., putting out the late Colonel Corso's original notes, which are called The Dawn of a New Age, with a lot more information than the day after Roswell, and also giving, you know, for charity for the future, proceeds of the book to this institute, which is an incredible institute to begin a new galactic policy with.
I know Dr. Weber was there, Alfred Weber.
Alfred Weber was here, and he and Michael Sala together, you'll probably see this photo I gave you of their working together at lunch, talked about how they could make this come about. Now, Alfred was really excited. Alfred has a lot to give. He has been working in the area of peace for many, many years with Carol Rosen for the de-weaponization of space. He's an activist. And it's just wonderful to see these people all working together.
You know, I get the impression that the Bush administration here in the U.S. Seems to want to militarize space, and that's far from what the objective was at, as far as these people at the conference are concerned,
yeah,
I imagine.
Yeah, but, you know, we're already militarizing the planet. Everybody is very upset about the amounts of money, the huge amounts of money going into the weapons situation, the maintenance of the nuclear arsenals and everything. You know, for a sustainable future, for us to go on this planet, we have to turn the corner. Somewhere we're going to have to turn a corner, and it has to be the will of the people. And in this particular conference, we're saying, okay, this may be the situation here. You know, whatever we did, but it is not acceptable in space to start working with weaponization in space, because there are other people out there, and you know, it's very viable, other people. I mean, the whole UFO phenomenon is not a bunch of extraterrestrial biological entity grays. There are people. There are people visiting. There are different, you know, types of races that are contacting, you know, we have to keep them in mind. It's not just human beings.
When we talk about, and you mentioned 57, I think, at one time, Can you give me an idea of some of the varieties of extraterrestrials, for a lack of a better term, that maybe there was a consensus there?
You know, label comes from not only Clifford Stone, but Colonel Corso mentioned 57. Robert Dean mentioned 7 that are documented. We're talking to everything about everything from light beings. You know, balls of light, and we're having that phenomenon in southern Italy.
Yeah, we talked to you about that in great detail, and you have things on your website.
Yeah,
about
we're talking about light beings that seem to be, you know, people all enveloped in light, orbs. We're talking about the extraterrestrial biological entities, which are, you know, kind of robotic clones. Then we're talking about the actual grays from Zeta Reticuli. We're talking about Pleiadians that visited Billy Meyer. We're talking about the Venusians have visited, Adamski. We're talking about people from different races that look like us that come down. We're even talking about people that could be mixed with humans on Earth that are walking around but are genetically altered, you know, what we call starseed. And, you know, we're talking about all these different visitations. And I think all too often when we talk about the UFO phenomenon, we just throw everything on the grays and that's the only thing. And it's so complex, this field, that we need to really study it.
That's one reason I brought this up with you, Paula, is simply you're dealing there with, for lack of a better term, heavy hitters, people high in governments around the world, and I'm just kind of interested what they think about it.
Well, they know it's a reality. There's no doubt. We don't need any more pictures. We don't need any more sightings. We don't need any more movies. We don't need any more proof. The thing is, it's a reality. So if you're going to digest this reality, then the next thing you do is you say to yourself, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to just ignore it? Because these people or these races or these visitations usually have an intent. The intent so far, and Robert Salas talked about this, you know, he was the military man that saw the missile shut down. Quite a few, 10, you know, nuclear missiles with nuclear warheads. I mean, these people obviously are worried about our nuclear problem on the Earth, and that's one of the visitations. The other reasons, you know, different contactees have told us about. We can ignore it, but that doesn't help us with making policy for the future. I think after a certain time, the ET visitations are going to probably be a lot more numerous if we start playing around with these dangerous toys.
You know, we've been doing lots of shows and interviews and research things just as you do, and it seems to me one of the things that seems to be coming to the forefront, and I've never talked to you about this, so you can give me your opinion. You may agree or not agree. But it seems that perhaps there might be an overt, in other words, a public contact by extraterrestrials in the making, coming up pretty soon. Did you hear anything like that?
Yeah, I am hearing that, because it depends on what crisis point this planet reaches. You know, if we reach a crisis, I mean, it's no new fact that they were seen around Vietnam and different wars we've had. We've had waves of UFOs around our war zones.
In fact, that you're right. In fact, yesterday on our sightings report, it came up once again about the sightings by the military, our military in Kuwait just before the Iraq invasion. Yeah, you're right. They always seem to be around these war zones, don't they?
War zones, and then if you followed Jaime Maussan's work, there were UFOs in the form of a cross over St. Petersburg, Florida, 2 months before Hurricane Katrina. Well, what does that tell you? They're not necessarily, they're using a Christian symbol to tell us that something is coming up that will cause the deaths of quite a few people. And this is he's got the picture of this on his website, Jaime. So we're getting warnings, and if we're getting warnings and something serious may be coming down the road, yes, I mean, you may have a major flap or a major group. Yeah, I have a feeling that somehow, I think, if we don't do something, disclosure will probably be in the hands of the...
Paul, I've watched you work at these conferences and other places, and you start early in the morning and go late at night, and you communicate with many, many people. I admire your ability and also your style in that area. You just kind of soak things up, I notice. And you were there with all of these movers and shakers. What kind of sidelights did you find? Is there any evidence of contact? Did anybody ever talk about, we're in conversation with so-and-so and so?
Well, first of all, my involvement, Jerry, is because I want something to happen. For me, this is not just a job. It's kind of a mission in that I am the kind of bridge between Europe and America. I mean, all this is going to appear in our Area 51 magazine. Then my website has four flags on it, if people notice, German, English, Italian, and French. And so my job is to deliver information. That's mainly my job, so that I'm with everybody, because I need to get the information to the world. It's not just an American situation. So did I find out anything about contact? For sure. Well, you know, every one of these meetings, whether it be Laughlin or here in Hawaii or wherever, even down in Roswell, people come up to you and they have their stories about contact and what the ETs say and so forth. And they have, you know, it's the same. It's kind of the same.
I understand. I was just wondering if maybe, one of these... for lack of a better term, big dogs in the world, and in the world of, politically speaking, they're connected, a lot of them. Maybe somebody had something to say. That's all I'm...
Some of the politicians.
Sure,
in
sure.
fact, what I find about the people that are in the world of politics, and even the people that are here, is that they want to be briefed. They were not told. A lot of the things that they learned about, in fact, Paul Hellyer said at lunch yesterday, my goodness, have I learned a great deal from being here. He said, I did not realize the extent of this phenomenon. And he heard from everybody. He heard from the contact people, and he heard from the, you know, intelligence people. He heard from everyone. And he did not understand that it was this widespread. And as far as, is there any secret? No, not really. It's just that...
I think what you just said was very revealing. It appears not only in the United States but in Canada, and you travel the world and report on it. It seems that many people in official government positions really are kept in the dark.
Well, they are, because this is done on a need-to-know basis. I mean, basically, there were very few presidents that knew, and, you know, when they were asked, they were told it wasn't any of their, you know, need-to-know. And so this is a secret that's been compartmentalized so much that's what kept it secret. And what I highly encourage, and I hope people really listen when I say this, is that we all work together. Because for me, watching the UFO community, watching people involved in this, we're going to need to unite. I loved seeing Alfred Weber with Michael Salas sitting there from Canada and America, from all the different countries working together. It was, if we don't do this, then we are our own worst enemies, Jerry. And one faction of the UFO camp, is fighting another faction of the UFO camp and accusing one faction of disinformation and the other faction of disinformation. And we can go on like that forever. And this secret will just stay in the same spot without, and people high above will be laughing at the whole entire thing.
You spent some time in France, I know, a couple, maybe last month. They at one time had more or less an official revelation, I thought, about UFOs. Every once in a while you hear that from, you know, somewhere in the world, and yet nothing seems to happen.
What they did was they had an official study called the Cometa Report. And the Cometa Report is out there, and it states there are UFOs, it states there are sightings, and for anybody that wants to study that report, there's the real facts. That would be the documentation that all the major agencies have done, MUFON, CUFOS, and so forth. The documentation is there. When I did the lecture in France, what they wanted to know was the State of the Union. In other words, they want to know today, in 2007, what's happening around the world. And you know that the most active activity in the world is Mexico City. And they wanted to know exactly at what point we were, and I gave them a great deal of information about where we stand right now in 2007 and what the different groups are doing, you know, including exopolitics.
And I'm speaking about Mexico City. You're covering a story down there that's very interesting. You may not want to get into it yet.
Well, I'd love to speak to the two boys that actually filmed the alien grabbing one of the boys' arms. I'd like to speak to them in person. I have asked Aimee if I can come down and interview them, because I really believe the story, especially where he has all the proof of the radioactivity in that particular alley where the boys were playing soccer. To me, that film footage of the alien grabbing the boy's arm, and the alien is floating, he's not even on the ground, I mean, people look at that film footage, is incredible. And I think, I'm going to predict this, in the next year we're going to get more of that, because this was a cell phone movie.
Mm-hmm. What were they talking about on immediate topics? I mean, did things like Serpo or Gary McKinnon or anything like that come up in the conversation?
No, because we would be going into details, and that's done more at UFO conferences where everybody does their own. We were talking more about policy. Policy means, what do we do? In other words, this is real. What are we going to do about it? Are we going to sit here, or are we going to try to make an effort to give a message to the visiting, ETs that it is not all hostile down here? That don't interpret it as what you're seeing. Everybody has the same hostile attitude. Or do we want to make an effort and have some principles that we work by? And so the document, I hope everybody reads it. I really do, because this document should be the peace document that we adopt for other people on the planet. But that's what the intent of this conference was. Now, the Gary McKinnon case is very important, but that helps put more power into the UFO question. And Serpo is a big question mark. You know, the only case that they were able to, two cases, Wendell Stevens talked about his, a case that he had been working on that was in North Carolina that was incredible, because that was the one they were exposed to, and the other one was the shutting down of the nuclear missile silo, missiles in Maelstrom. And those are the only two that these officials were aware of that were part of the conference. The rest of it is, I noticed Paul Hellyer had a few books he was going to read, and Ambassador McDonald was approached by some people, and he was aware of some cases like that, but I don't think they read the regular UFO literature the way
we do. What I'm trying to get at here, basically, is these people had a consensus, and you were part of this consensus. Now, I guess the next job is to take that consensus and get official governments to relate to it, right?
Well, the next job is action plan. In other words, this is what we believe. We believe, and it starts out, we, the individuals and institutions participating in this group in Hawaii, are a body of concerned private citizens with an interest in promoting peaceful relations with extraterrestrial civilizations. And that is the statement, and it goes on, and it talks about, it also affirms the natural right of all citizens to have open contact, and it declares that we will try to cooperate if they are benevolent, and we've got that word benevolent in there, thank God. The next thing is an action plan, like, what do we do? So a lot of the people in the audience, and I'm going to tell you this, have decided they're going to go to their, like, congressmen, they're going to go to their communities, they're going to post this different places. In my case, I'm going to just, disseminate it around the world as a journalist. What do we do about it? We have to have some kind of action around
this,
it.
What would you call this, a symposium, a meeting? What would be the best term to describe exactly what you've
conference.
Doing.
It is a conference and it's a meeting, but it's a meeting of people that are exopolitical. In other words, we have so many wonderful meetings of UFO researchers that are telling the story of their research. This is a political kind of situation, which is not all popular, that term, but it's a matter of citizen diplomacy. So think of it as establishing citizen diplomacy with what's out there, and this is on a citizen grassroots level, because it's really hard to do it on a governmental level, you know that, especially here. I mean, you can't really, it's hard enough to implement a Department of Peace, which a friend of mine, Terry Mansfield, is trying to do, in order to deal with peaceful relations with the whole world. We're trying to, on a grassroots level, trying to say, okay, well, can we start looking at projecting the human race as peaceful from their perspective, from the ET perspective?
You have a unique perspective as an international journalist, and you live here in the U.S. some of the time, but most of the time in Italy. Is there a part of the world where this subject is more open? And then other places.
Where else? I'm laughing about this because yeah. I come back and forth, and for us it's no big deal. I mean, we had Jaime Maussan on state television for 40 minutes showing the Mexico City flotillas, showing the flying humanoids over Mexico City. There were seven angel-type beings that flew over the city, plus the cell phone stuff, the cross over St. Petersburg, Florida. All the Italians are watching this on prime time at 11 o'clock. Nobody thinks it's a big deal. There it is. That's what the phenomenon is.
You know, that's interesting, because one of the reasons the U.S. government uses in not admitting anything about UFOs is, well, the religious significance. And there's no place more religious than Italy as far as the Roman Catholic Church. And yet it's very open.
And it's open. And obviously the other place that's very, very religious is Mexico City. And it's happening there.
Uh-huh.
And so it's not about religion. It's about the fact that, you know, they're so used to seeing it. We're so used to having it on the news. And in the newspaper, I mean, our newspaper covered the Paul Hellyer story. It had six columns on his declaration. And, you know, there's no problem. I mean, what problem is there? People, look, you know how many people believe we are being contacted by extraterrestrial civilizations. What I resent, and I'll be very personal about this, is the ridicule around the American situation. I mean, why start with little green men? I've never even seen little green men depicted in any of the serious research.
I haven't either. I don't know. I don't know how the little green men got started. I think it was a song or something.
It not only shows, and I'm going to be serious about this too, it not only shows that there's ridicule, it's ignorance. And why would Americans want to be depicted as ignorant? There's not, actually, research is very enlightened I mean, I would believe that people would be scholarly. They want to research this and, or any phenomenon that was like this. And why start with something stupid? I mean, that the initial part of this article is quite stupid. And I'm thinking, well, you know, that's a bad reflection on what we have here.
You're talking about that newspaper article there on the major newspaper there, you know, on the Big Island. They were kind of unmerciful, I must say. Talking about countries, what about England and their UFO attitudes?
Well, England is a little bit more broad-minded. At least they have a Department of Defense representative that talks about UFOs, and that's Nick Pope. You probably interviewed him other times. Nick Pope is representative of the Department of Defense and actually talks about it. But it's the States. I think it's also our commercialization of the UFO phenomenon, you know, the antenna, the magnets, the T-shirts, the, you know, buying of all the materials. And I don't know if that's part of it or if our mentality is part of it to ridicule it. But it shows a level of ignorance that I'm really embarrassed about a lot of times. I'm embarrassed about the article starting this way where we have such high level people sitting here.
Paula, I know for a fact you're interested in all this UFO coverage, but exopolitics really is probably your most interesting area, right? I mean, you're really interested in exopolitics.
Well, yeah, because it does something, you know. I mean, I've been around for a long time, and I love reporting on sightings and so forth, but we're past that right now. We got to do something, and I think exopolitical is more activist. Plus, it gets the politics involved. In other words, as Paul Hellyer said, there is serious concern. You know, there's concern here for how we're proceeding with this. You can't let this go. This is not something that is going to go away. So if we're going to deal with it, it's dealing with the actual UFO phenomenon rather than proving it. We already know it's a reality. So, I'm really excited about this new discipline. I call it a discipline because I'm an educator. Michael Sala is a college professor with a PhD, and this is an intelligent discussion and scholarly study, which is something that I really, really hope we do. We prove, and I hope America is in the forefront of doing that, so we prove to the world that we can have a discipline that can really address this issue.
Well, Paula, we'll talk to you more about it later. Is there any closing comments you'd like to make about this particular story you're covering?
It's what we call in Italian an anteprima, which means you're the first one to have this material. And I'm hoping that you, Jerry, you've done such a great job in disclosure. I mean, in covering stories, actually. You're a great journalist, and I hope that people pay attention to. We're just reporting the story.
Well, Paula, thanks for helping us out. It's always a pleasure working with you. I'm sure we'll see you again soon. You go back out there and play with the dolphins. Swim with the whales. Enjoy yourself in Hawaii.
Right.
Have a nice vacation. See you later. Thank you. This report on the exopolitical situation in the world, really, I almost said America, has been brought to you through special arrangement with Paula Harris, one of the great reporters in the world today when it comes to UFO issues. This is Jerry Pippin. Be sure and check out the website. We have all kinds of interesting things here, videos, excerpts from the conference itself, the petition to sign, and some background material. It's been our pleasure. Until next time, cheers.
The doors are finally open at ShopJerryPippin.com. Explore our new iShop. It's open and growing. You can use any major credit card or your checking account with our PayPal connection. Our first edition t-shirt selections features 3 different Jerry Pippin UFO files designs. In addition, we will be adding collector t-shirts from select UFO conferences, as well as several novelty items. Check us out at ShopJerryPippin.com.